I've entitled our message this morning, Abba Father's Day. It's a happy Abba's Father's Day. If you need a Bible, you want to follow along, we're going to be jumping around quite a bit. We will have a springboard verse this morning. But what do you think is the lowest attended day in church for the year? Huh? What? I couldn't hear you, but... Oh, Super Bowl Sunday. No, actually, Father's Day is lower than Super Bowl Sunday. But you know what? Thank God. Look at all y'all are here. That's awesome. The truly godly ones are here. No, I'm just I'm messing. But normally, it's the lowest. And guess what? One of the highest. Mother's Day. Yeah. You know what? I always say that women tend to be more spiritual than men. And there's proof. You know, I tried to think of why is it that Father's Day would be so low. And I think what it is guys wake up and they go, hey, it's Father's Day. It's my day. Let's go fishing. You know, hey, let's go out on the boat. Let's go. But mothers go, it's my day. Let's go to church. And it's like, awesome. You go, ladies. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. I don't know if that's the reason. That's just my thinking. Who knows what the reason is. But nevertheless... here it is. It's Father's Day. And although we're not going to have a specific verse to go by, we're going to springboard off of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And if you would please stand as we read our verses this morning, that'd be awesome. And I should put my glasses on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Please stand as we read God's word. Thank you. It says, behold, what manner of love God has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, I pray that what we share today, what we look at today, would come alive in our hearts. Father, thank you for being our Father, our Abba Father. So happy Father's Day, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the title of our message this morning is Abba Father's Day. Now, some of you may be asking, what does Abba mean? No, it does not mean a cheesy 80s singing group. That's not the Abba we're talking about. Some of you are like, Dancing Queen. It's like, now I got it stuck in my head. Anyways. But it's not. Listen, Abba means daddy. In fact, if you were to go over to Israel and walk around, you would see little children or you would hear little children walking around, Abba, 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 daddy, 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 daddy. And what a privilege we have, brothers and sisters. We have an incredible privilege and honor of being able to call God daddy. Listen, none of the patriarchs refer to God as father. Abraham didn't do it. Jacob didn't do it. Moses didn't do it. David didn't do it. Elijah. None of them called God Father. Let alone when you come to the New Testament and Jesus says, not only can you call him Father, and all the Jews are going, what? You can't call God Father? That's too intimate. No, he says, no. You can call him Abba Father, Daddy. And that was a mind blower. See, we don't get it. Because to us, we throw that around. Even some people call Catholic priests father. And that's really not good. But that's neither here nor there. We won't. That's not the topic of my study. Okay, focus, Randy. Okay, so. But we throw it around. Listen, in Matthew 6, 9, and 13, Jesus said this. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, when he said our Father, people were like, what? You can't call him that? Listen, you know when they would copy, when they'd sit there and and make copies of the manuscripts to hand them. What they would do, if I was a scribe, I'd have an inkwell and a pen. And whenever I came to God's name, which, by the way, they removed all the vowels and it was just consonants. What they would do is when they come to, they didn't want anyone to know God's name. So when they come to his name, they would write his name. They would throw away the inkwell and the ink, and they'd go ceremonially wash their hands, and it was a new inkwell and a new ink, and they'd get a little further down, and God's name would come up again, and they'd do that every time they came to God's name. That's how much reverence. So to come into the New Testament and have Jesus say, you can call him Father, when we won't even write his name down, and if we do, we have to throw the ink and the pen away because it's written the name of God. Let alone call him Father. And then Jesus went even further in Mark 14, verse 35 and 36. He says, he went a little further. He fell on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Well, Jesus said, call him Father. And then he said, no, even go beyond that. We can call him Abba, Father, Daddy. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, that's Jesus. Jesus is calling him Daddy. We can't do that. No, yes, we can. Paul understood this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says this. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So Paul says, no, listen, when you receive God's Spirit, you now have the right, nay, the privilege of calling God Daddy. You have the right to call God Daddy. What an honor. What an honor to give that God would share such a lofty title with us. Listen, if you are a father here, if you are a dad here, you have the same title that God does. You are a father when you gave birth, and you become a daddy as you raise your children. And yet, William Wordsworth said this, Father, God himself, we cannot give a holier name. That's so good. That's so good. There's not a greater name. We get to call God Father and Daddy. Now, understand this. Abba, meaning daddy, is an action word. It's a word of action. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, to become a father, anyone can have a child. That's easy. That's an easy part. The hard part is to be an Abba, to be a daddy, to love. It's one person said this, it is easy for a man to have children, it is harder for children to have a daddy. Oh, that's so true. That is so true. But I want you to notice here in the scripture we read, it says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Now, I like the NIV translation better right here than the New King James. The NIV says this, what great love the Father has lavished on us. See, the love that God has for you and I is a lavished love. It's not just a love, it's a lavish, it's poured out, it's abundant. It's exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. And hopefully, as we look at this study this morning, you're going to walk away here today thinking, no, wait. Maybe I don't have God's love for me in the right perspective. But unfortunately, if you're like me, you didn't have a dad, you didn't have a daddy, you had a father. You had a man that gave you life, but didn't give you much love or nurturing or care. And unfortunately, there are many fathers like that today. And I ran across a story. I'm going to share it with you. There was a family, and the kids of the family wanted a hamster. They begged and they pleaded. After some time, the mom gave in and bought the kids a hamster that they named Danny. But after some time, the mom found herself tending to the hamster, feeding it, cleaning after it, and she decided enough is enough. She gathered the kids and informed them their little pet that they have come to affectionately name Danny had to go. She wasn't going to be the one to feed him every day. She wasn't going to be the one to clean after him every day. And when she told the kids this, she was shocked by how well the kids took it. The kids said, well, you know what, Mom? Maybe if he didn't eat so much, if he wasn't so messy. Besides that, he's no funny. All he does is sleep. The mom looked surprised. She goes, okay, fine. It's agreed. Fine. Go get his cage and bring it here. And as soon as she said cage, the kids freaked out and screamed, no! She was like, what? She goes, we thought you said daddy, not Danny. Danny, we want to keep.
Sorry.
You should have heard the way I messed this story up in first service. But anyways. But listen, I had to pick on you dads. But listen, it's important that as dads that we nurture our children. That we spend time with them. That we don't just expect to be cleaned up after and fed. Sleep is good, but life is an adventure. But it said in 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, in other words, think about, contemplate what manner of love the Father has bestowed, has lavished on us. And here you go, that we should be called the children of God. So often, we have the wrong perspective. We come to church to have a spiritual experience. When that's wrong, listen, we're not humans having spiritual experiences. We're spirits having a human experience. This life is fleeting. Your spirit is eternal. But what's wrong is so often, we don't have the right perspective on God, on this life, on what church is, on what the Bible is. The problem is that we have to be changed. We have been conformed to the ways of this world, and we have to have our minds transformed like a transformer, right? We have to be Autobots. Or just don't be a Decepticon, okay? The geeks are like drooling right now. He knows about them. Anyways, listen, we have to be transformed. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that weird sound, by renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. All this transformation begins to change the way that we see our Heavenly Father, God the Father. We need to come to a point where we understand the matchless love that has been lavished upon you and upon I, which so often we don't get. We have an incredible Heavenly Father. But as we look at our Heavenly Father, and we will in more depth, we cannot ignore our earthly father. Listen, how many of you had an earthly father? Raise your hand. Stop. Put your hand down. If you didn't have an earthly father, I'd be concerned. It'd be like, you don't have an earthly father? What, you got an alien for a daddy? Listen, we must consider our earthly. Some of you are earthly fathers. Most of you are, probably. But every one of us, even if you don't have any children, you are a child yourself. Now, as we look at earthly fathers, we must go way back. When we begin to look at the earthly fathers, we must go way back. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And you can turn there. If you don't know where Genesis is, it's at the beginning of the Bible. And you don't even have to turn many pages. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Watch this. He says this. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Whoa, hold on a second. Isn't that redundant? Make it in our image and in our likeness? No, it's not. Those are two different concepts. See, I am in my maleness, I am in the image of God. But I'm in his likeness in my manhood. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor, what's the difference between maleness and manhood? I'll tell you. I am male by biology, but I'm a man by responsibility. When a male takes on responsibility, he has now become a man. See, it's not the sex act that makes you a man. It's the responsibility act that makes you a man. Because there are a lot of boys having sex and not taking responsibility. Listen, just being a male doesn't make you a man. Taking responsibility makes you a man. Having sex can make you a parent, but it doesn't make you a man. Taking responsibility for that child makes you a man. But taking on the responsibility and repenting of your sin and admitting that you are broken and in need of a Savior makes you a man of God. And that's far better. Listen, we go from being a male to being a man to prayerfully one day becoming a man of God. And all those things are important. But being a father, being a Abba father, being a daddy, is involving much. Remember, Abba is an action word. And what is the action that makes an Abba? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Listen, in order to be a daddy to kids, you know what you have to do? You have to give up your own free time, your own, some of your hobby time, in order to raise children and nurture them. Being an Abba is sacrifice. Even having kids is a sacrifice. Let's see, I can have kids or I can have a brand new bass boat. Hard decision, isn't it? Because kids are a sacrifice. Kids take time, take money, but most importantly, they need love. They need love. But our Heavenly Father, listen, God doesn't ask of you what he himself won't do as our Abba Father, as our daddy. Sacrifice. Listen, Isaiah 53:10 tells us about God's sacrifice. Isaiah 53:10 says this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. My dad, he didn't sacrifice love. He didn't offer love. My dad was not the kind of man that would come up and say, I love you, or give me a hug. He wasn't the kind of father that would teach me how to ride a bike. He wasn't the kind of father that if I fell, would encourage me. Instead, he'd just say, hey, don't cry. And buy me a gun, a toy gun, and go play. Meanwhile, shoot the neighbors. Surprising I didn't become a serial killer. But that's the way my dad loved on me. If he was going to, his expression of love was to give me a toy. And there's so much more to being a father than just buying gifts. There's that sacrifice. No greater love has a man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend, for a son, for a daughter, for a bride. You must lay your life down. And to lay your life down means to put aside your own desires and put the desires of your children first. But the benefits, the benefits of being a daddy as opposed to a father, you cannot put a price tag on. You know, you take a child to buy a gift on Mother's Day or Father's Day, and if you really take a child and just say, whatever you pick, that's what we'll get for mommy or for daddy, be careful. Because the first thing they see is what they're going to buy. Little girl sees a little Cinderella with the magical golden sprinkled ballroom dress gown. Not dress, gown. And she goes, ooh, that's for mommy. And of course, she gives it to mommy, and mommy goes, really? A doll? And she goes, yes, mommy, because she's as beautiful as you. Oh, really? Yes, a doll. Awesome. You see, all of a sudden it changes the perspective, doesn't it? Our little kid, little boy buying for daddy, and the first thing he sees is the superhero Nerf bazooka. Here, daddy, a Nerf bazooka. Why a Nerf bazooka? Because, daddy, you're strong. You're our hero. You'll protect the family. Yes, I will. Now that goes up in the office, doesn't it? Or they get a Father's Day or Mother's Day card, and they go to the card aisle, and the first thing that is full of colors and rainbows and ribbons and all that, that's for daddy. And then you open it up, and it's for grandma who threw out her hip. Get well soon. Grandma, hope your hip feels better. They don't care. They're just thinking that daddy or mommy deserves the card with the most color because mommy and daddy are special. Isn't that awesome? Listen, let me show you something. See this? The other day, before school was out, we went and picked Riley up from school, and she got in the van, and Jennifer goes, ooh, what's that? And she goes, something I made for Randy. It says, I love you, Randy. And I saw that, I was like, she just made it for me. I mean, no particular, she just made this and thought, I love you, Randy. And I told her, you know what, this is going in my office. And by the way, if you come to counseling, you'll see this in my office, and it's going to stay there. It will not be moved. Because she made this out of loving care. It means something to me. You know, if you saw this sitting in the store, you'd probably go, what the heck is that? And I'd say, you know what? It's precious to me. You couldn't put a price tag on this. You can't have this. Because it was made with love. It was made with her hands. Sometimes, like last night, we were walking in the store. In the grocery store. And we're just walking. And Riley's big enough. She can walk on her own. It's not like we keep a leash on her and keep her, you know, she can go, whatever. And we're walking, and she just reaches over and grabs my hand. The first time she did that, I was like, okay, what do you want? What you want some ice cream? Is this what? And she's like, no, I just want to hold your hand. Now, we just be walking. We go walk around the neighborhood. She holds my hand. It's 110 degrees, and she's got her sweaty hands in my hands. But I don't let go. I don't let go because it's love, and it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful thing. I like this quote. The way that Riley comes to me, she gives me this. I didn't ask her for it. She just did it because she thought of me, and she loves me, and I love her. She holds my hand, not because I tell her, hold my hand, you're going to hold my... No, she does it because she just wants that touch. One man says this, in this quote, a truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. Yeah, it's good. Listen, that's what God wants from us. God wants us to come to him, not because you're expecting to get something from him, but just because you love him and you want to hold his hand. God wants us to come here to church today, not to go, ooh, I went to church, but to come here saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you want from my life. I want to just be close to you. I want to love on you. I want to love on your people. That's why I come to church. It's not to come to have a spiritual experience. Not to be a human having spiritual experience, but to be a spirit who comes in a human experience, but to express love to our Heavenly Father. But you say, we need to come to God for love and not just when we're in trouble. We need to hold God's hand. Pastor, how do I do that? How do I come to God like that? Well, I'm glad you asked. You come to Father with prayers. Listen, you ever go to prayer when you don't have a list of things that you expect for God to do? You just come to God because you want to tell him how much you love him and just say, God, you're awesome, you're amazing, and finish praying. And God says, what, no request? No, I just wanted to spend time with you, Lord. You ever do that? Or every time you come to God, it's with request. God, you know, heal this person, heal that person. Hey, God, give me a raise. Hey, God, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. Or you ever come to God just to give him honor and glory? You ever do that? How about service, right? We're made in his image, in his likeness. Jesus was the express image of the Godhead bodily. And what did he do? He was always concerned about his dad, and he was always serving. You're in his image, in his likeness. And how about worship? You come to worship to hear. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but I did this on purpose. Plus, I felt like the worship team needed a little break. They serve. They a lot of times don't get a chance to worship. So what I did over the last few weeks is we had a few guest worship people, and I did this on purpose. And I told them, listen, I don't want a big band. I just want one instrument and singing. That's it. And I did this because how did you look at it? Did you go, ooh, well, I like them. I didn't like them, so I'm not going to sing. It's not about that, is it? Even if it was terrible, if it was done in love, it's beautiful to God. Even if you can't sing, you can't hold a note, you can't play an instrument, God says, oh, you sing squeaky? Bring it to me. Oh, you sing out of tune? Bring it to me. Oh, you can't clap and beat? Bring it to me. Just do it out of love, not expecting anything in return other than just to love on me. Is that what you do? Or do you go, oh, it's not a regular worship team. Well, I'll just listen. Ooh, that's terrible. Oh, and God's saying, no, see, you don't get it. That person that you don't like, I love. And right now, it's your heart that I don't like. Because you're not loving me the way they are. Now, I'll tell you, I'm glad our worship team is back. I love our worship team. I love the way they sound. I love their songs. But you know what? When we had those guest people, I could worship with them. Every single one of them. All of them were different. But it was all worship. You need to bring your prayers to God just to pray to Him. You need to bring your service to God just to serve Him. You need to come on Sundays not wondering what band we're going to have, what worship team, what we're going to have, drummer, bass player, what are we going to have today? Just go, you know what? It doesn't matter what we have. If we had nobody, I'm going to worship God. When you come to worship, bring a sacrifice of praise. Bring your gift. In fact, when you come to worship, you should beat the worship team before the altar of God. They haven't even started, and you're already there before God's throne. Let them catch up to you rather than wait for them to take you where you need to go. Very important. But it's about giving gifts. Father's Day is about gifts, right? Some of you are going to take your fathers out to eat. I hope. Me hunky. Some of you are going to take your fathers out to eat. Some of you are going to write cards. Some of you might give a gift card or a movie, take a movie. Some of you might go out on the boat. Some of you might just make a phone call. It's still a gift of love and important. What do you think is the greatest gift? What was the greatest Father's Day gift ever given? Yeah, specifically, Jesus on the cross. The greatest sacrifice. God sacrificed His Son. Jesus sacrificed His life was a gift to the Father. But you know what Jesus was really giving to the Father? You and me. He went to the cross so that He could give you to His dad. He died and was brutalized so that we would be able to stand before His Father in heaven. What an amazing Father's Day gift. You are this precious gift. I'm as messed up as this is. You look at my life and this is more together than my life. This you could read the words. My life is such a mess. Yet to God's eyes, because Jesus, out of love, He sacrificed and He carved your name and my name in His wrist and in His side and His forehead and His back. When God sees, He says, wow, this is beautiful. I love Randy. He is precious. I love Sally. I love Jimmy and Billy and whatever your name is. Fill in the blank. You are Jesus' gift to the Father. Yet God was, do you realize this? God was pleased with Jesus even before He went to the cross. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking of Jesus, this is the start of His ministry right here in Matthew 3:16. When He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Holy Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightening upon Him. Suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had not healed any blind people. He had not healed any lepers or crippled. He had not called Lazarus from the dead. He had not walked on the water. He had not taken the loaves and the fish and divided them up between 25,000 people. He had not done that. But God was already pleased. Listen, God's pleasure is not in activity. God's pleasure is in identity. When you identify yourself as a child of God, when you accept Christ because you love Jesus, because you do what he wants you to do, when you fall under the Christly Godhead, then it's your identity in Christ. It's who you are in Christ. Now, here's the thing. When you fall in love with Jesus, then you want to do things, not in order to earn his love, because he already loves you exceedingly abundantly. You do it because you're simply in love with him and you want him to know it. But God is pleased with you, not with your activity, but your identity. Listen, some of us, have done some horrible things in our life. Some of us have sinned greatly. But you know what? I don't care what you've done. God is forgiving. And he forgives you and he loves you. And you can come to him over and over again. But the thing is when you fall in love with someone, you want to do less and less that would hurt his feelings. See, the opposite of someone in love with God who brings gifts, a sacrifice of praise, who has the right heart, the opposite of it, the antithesis, I can't say that word. But the exact opposite is found in John 8:44. The Gospel of John 8:44. Jesus, looking at the religious leaders, the guys who would offer money, the guys who dressed up to go to church, the guys who stood in the courtyards lifting their arms, lifting up holy prayers, that would pray long prayers. The guys who had the Bible memorized. In John 8:44, he says this, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, before I was transformed, I'm not going to do the sound. Before I was transformed, I did what the devil wanted. I didn't worship. I did what made me happy. But after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, now I worship. Now I seek to please him. Not because I have to do it to prove it or I have to earn his love. His love is already mine. God is love. And he loves me. And he loves you. But I do it because I want to show him that I love him back. But he says these religious leaders were going through the motions. He says we should worship in spirit and in truth. The devil is a lie. We should serve out of love for Jesus, for he was our example. You know, there's a story by John Corson. My wife shared it with me and it was awesome, so I felt like I should share it with you. There was a lady over in a foreign country and she lived in an apartment complex and she would sit. She was in her 80s and she would sit on the balcony and people would see her every day. She liked to sit outside on the balcony in a rocking chair. Well, one day they discovered her that she had died and had been there for 3 months and nobody noticed. Nobody noticed that she was dead because they were used to seeing her in that same position. The sad part, the principle here, is that some of us come and sit in the church and we've gotten used to them that we don't realize that they're spiritually dead. That could even be us. That could even be me. That could be you. How do you know if you're spiritually alive? I don't know. Do you worship God and are excited to give him anything just to show him that you love him? Do you serve the Lord from your heart just to please him because you want to please him? Do you give to God because you want to give and not because you think, well, I got to give my tithe? Listen, God doesn't need your money. HBC doesn't need your money. If you're putting in there to try and prove to someone you're saved, keep your money. We don't want it. Neither does God. But if you come here and you worship God and you serve God and you give with a joyful heart, God says, I love that. That's precious. There's nothing that you can give to God that he doesn't already have. Nothing. He owns everything. Everything you have belongs to him. So we must have the right perspective. We must be an example to others. Jesus was an example to you and I, wasn't he? Was Jesus an example to you? Okay, good morning. Hi. Hi. You sleepy? Oh. Your baby go night-night. Shh, you guys are sleeping now. Anyways. Listen, was he an example to you? Yes. Are you to be an example to others? Okay, listen, there's a story. This father took his little boy, sat him in his lap. And he sat there and he described exactly to every detail what a Christian was. And when he was through, the little boy asked a question that pierced his father's heart. The little boy said, Daddy, have I ever seen one? Listen, you could know. You and I could sit there and tell other people what it's like to be a Christian, what a Christian should act like, what a Christian should do. But the question is, do people see that example in you? That's what makes a difference. That, by the way, brothers and sisters, listen, you're gonna take your dad out to dinner. You're going to give him a card. You might just give him a call and tell him you love him. Who knows what you're going to do? But you know what the greatest gift we can give to Abba, Father, our Heavenly Father? Our obedience. That's the greatest gift to give to God. God is our example of a loving Father. If you're a dad here, you have kids, God is our example of a loving Father. I like what one person said. He said this. When you have a father who is godly, this guy said this. Dad, you're someone to look up to no matter how tall I grow. That's awesome. You see, men, as fathers, we should aspire to be an example, a godly one, please. Some of us are not godly examples at all. You know, we tell our kids, don't do drugs. And then we run over to Mojave Green. And they're like, what? He told me not to use drugs. Drinking's not good. And then they open the fridge and there's bottles. Don't use profanity. That's not good. And then they see someone cut us off and we're, rada, rada. That's as bad as I get. Rada, rada. Listen, your kids should say, maybe they rebel. You know, you can have rebellious kids, but one thing, if you set a godly example, they can never hold that over your head. But if you have rebellious kids, and then they come to you, well, Dad, isn't that what you do? Yeah, I do drugs, but don't you do drugs too? I saw you smoking the other day. I saw you doing this and that. Oh, you don't want me to get drunk, but you get drunk. You don't want me to use profanity. You don't want me to sleep around, but aren't you? It's like, what? Listen, we need to be an example to others. We need to be, if you have kids, you need to be more than a father. You need to be an Abba father. You need to be a daddy. Nurture, love, set an example. I like what Billy Graham says. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in society. That's good. That's true. Now, here's the problem. Here's the rub. Maybe you had a great dad. Awesome. Good for you. Maybe you had a mediocre dad. Okay? Maybe you had a Darth Vader dad. Right? Remember Star Wars? I remember when I saw Star Wars the first time, and then when The Empire Strikes Back came out, I was drooling, chomping at the bit, stood in line. I saw it the day it came out, and it kept everything hush-hush, and it got to that scene where it's like, Luke, you know I'm your father. And he's like, no! And I was like, no! Can't be his dad. He's evil. That's not good! Listen, it doesn't matter if you had a Darth Vader dad, your heavenly father is not on the dark side. He's the good side. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And he doesn't fight against you. He wants to encourage you. I had a Darth Vader dad. My dad was probably the toughest man I ever met. And I don't say that every man. Every guy says, my daddy can beat up your daddy. Right? Every guy says, no. My dad was tough. We had, my dad owned a nightclub called Castillo's Club over in La Puente. In fact, for many years, it was Castillo's Club up until like 4 years ago. But my dad owned this nightclub. And I remember on a New Year's Eve, I was there because it was a nightclub bar with a band, but they also served food so families could come there. So we were there, kids. It was New Year's Eve, and I watched my dad, little like 5'6", 5'4" guy, beat up five guys by himself. I've never seen my dad cry. I never seen him flinch. He would not flinch. You could not go, boo, and have my dad jump. I tried many times. He'd go, what you doing, mijo? It was like cool as a cucumber. I remember going to Mexico. My dad was involved with the Mexican mafia. He lived here in the States, but he was involved. I remember going to a hotel room, and my dad had these guys come in, bunch of bad dudes, and they all came in. I'm a little kid, and I just remember vividly, they all just pulled out guns and threw them out on the bed. And then they were letting me play with the guns, too, I remember. That was my first encounter with a real gun. And these were the Memphis, all of a sudden my daddy's Elvis. It was like... Thank you very much. It was one of my biggest records. The Mexican mafia. My dad was involved with the Mexican mafia. And I remember telling my mom how bad these dudes were, and they were killers. And here's his little mijo, his son. That was my exposure. My dad had drugs coming into California, and I was there when we had half our garage those bricks of drugs all the way to the ceiling and half of the garage. That was my dad. Womanizer, verbally abusive, beat me and my sisters to a pulp often. I had a Darth Vader dad. Never said I love you. Never said, mijo, give me a hug. None of that. But my dad did teach me one thing. Sacrifice. And you said, what are you talking about? Well, my dad... They had a couple of restaurants, and they were kind of successful, but one day he always wanted to have a nightclub. And finally, he had Castillo's Club. Actually, in La Puente, there's Randy's Donuts on one side of the street and Castillo. So that was my block, Randy Castillo. Get out of my block. No, anyways, so he had this nightclub, and he worked hard. My dad couldn't read or write, yet he had a successful business, which was quite an achievement. And it wasn't that was separate from his drug dealings, was this nightclub. And so he had this successful nightclub. And one day, he used to tell me, actually, my sisters and I have two older sisters, and I was the baby of the family. He'd tell me, mijo, when I'm away, you're the man of the house, take care of the house, take care of your sisters. Okay, Dad, I'm going to go play. I was just a little kid. But he put this on me, and then one night, there was a man who was a creep, and he used to be a regular at Castillo's Club, but evidently he was eyeing my sisters, and he knew that when my mom and dad were at the nightclub, that my sisters and I were at home. So while my mom and dad were working, he came to the house with bad intentions. And we're there, and there's this guy trying to banging on the door, running around the house. My sisters are screaming. I'm the little kid who was told to take care of your sisters, and I'm freaking out. I don't know how to deal with this. How do I be a man? I'm a little boy. I'm 8 years old. But I'm supposed to be the man, and there's a real man outside the door, a real man. Male, not a man. There was no man there. It was a coward. It was a creep trying to get at my sisters. And me, I don't know what his intentions were, but they were bad. And so they got on the phone and they called my dad. My dad was several miles away. And he gets in the van, and we could hear him from over a block away because it was a long block. It was one of those big blocks, California blocks. We could hear him, the engine roaring of his van coming down a very narrow alleyway behind our house. It was barely enough. He was probably knocking trash cans out of the way. I don't know, because there wasn't much room for a car. But he was, you could hear it screaming. Just I'll never forget that sound, but evidently the guy getting in the house trying to heard it too, and he knew. And so he ran in the garage and hid in a corner. My dad, we had one of these very, very heavy garages that took two people, those old kind, and we didn't have a garage door opener. We had been broken into before, and he thought, you know what, I bet they're hiding in the garage when we come home, because we came very close to catching someone who had broken into our house. And so he had the garage door propped up. He turned the corner. We could hear he slammed into the brick wall of the neighbors behind there, crushed the tail end of the van, and he pulled right in and put on his high beams, and there was the guy that he knew had just been at the nightclub and knew that my sisters were at home and I, and he was crouched down in the corner trying to hide, and my dad hit the high beams, and there he was. My dad recognized him right away. And we're watching. We're hearing. We heard when those wheels screeched, and he went in. Then we looked out the window because my dad backed up because you couldn't open the door. And he let the guy, when he backed up to get out, the guy squeezed between the van and the side of the garage and got out and started running. My dad backed up again, slammed into that wall, started chasing. And my sisters and I watched as my dad tried to kill a man with the van, tried to run him over. And I am sitting there. I'm supposed to be the man in the house. And here's my dad trying to kill a man with his van. And he didn't run him over, but he tried. And that guy was acting like he had a gun the whole time he's running. We could see him running at my sister. He's got a gun. He's got a gun. He didn't. He was trying to freak my dad out. My dad didn't care. Shoot me. He even said that. Shoot me. Go ahead. But my dad was going to beat this guy up. I started having problems after that. Some serious problems at school, at home, started seeing things. They took me to psychiatrists, and now you're just like, no wonder that's wrong. What's wrong with that pastor? I got better. I did. I got better. Anyways, they were taking me to psychiatrists, and nothing was working. Nothing was working. They were spending everything. My dad said to my mom, she said, listen, we got to sell the business. Mijo's sick. You know, the man who never said he loves me, gosh, I can't tell the story. The man who said, never said he loved me, gave up his dream to be his self-made businessman, and he would go every day to the corner in downtown Los Angeles asking people, because none of the psychiatrists could help me. Can you help me? Can this? And he'd tell them what was wrong, and they tried all kinds of things. Finally, we found someone that could help me, but my dad gave up everything that all his dreams, all his aspirations, he gave them up because mijo was sick. And he taught me something, that love doesn't value anything. Love comes first. Love is sacrifice. You can say I love you all the time, but if you ain't willing to sacrifice, it doesn't mean anything. God is our sacrifice. He's our hero. That we would know his voice. God has given to us abundantly. And it's the presence of God that is most valuable for us to come into his presence. When Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't for his own sake. He left heaven, came to this dusty, dingy earth, so that he could pave a way for you to go back into the presence of God. He didn't go to the cross for his own sake. He went to the cross for your sake. He laid down his life. We are all created. We were all created to need love, right? And the first thing, you take a baby, smack it. First thing it does is cry out, and it wants its mommy to show the baby needs love. I need to be held. I need love. I need. That's why once it gets to mommy, it clings on for dear life. That's the love that we needed from birth. We all needed love. As babies, we all needed love. How many of you started off your life as a baby? Some of the ladies in here said, he's still a baby. He'll never grow up. Thanks, Mom. You know what? The thing about children, babies, they're not chosen. Most of the time, babies, I mean, yes, you can go adopt a child, but the typical process is you do not choose the baby you get. You don't. Nor do children choose their parents. To be a child of God, you don't choose. You don't join. To become a child of God, you must be born into the family. It's not a club. You don't sign up for membership. You are born into the family of God. Now, here's the only difference. God did choose you because he formed you in your mother's womb. He knitted you together, and he says, I'm going to be Randy's Abba father. I know he doesn't have a great earthly father, but I'm going to be an awesome heavenly father. And by the way, I got to see my dad get saved the year before he died. I baptized my own daddy, and he gave me a hug. With a tear, he actually said, I love you, before he died. It doesn't get any better than that. And that's all from my heavenly father. Because I know right now, my dad is gone, but he's standing before God, and one day I will see what his eyes are seeing right now. And we'll both say, look at our daddy. Look at our heavenly father. He chose you. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Bear fruit. Listen, if you are a grandfather, if you are a father, if you are going to be a father someday, you are to bear fruit. You are to set an example of God's love in the eyes of your children, in the eyes of your grandchildren. We need to bear fruit, the fruit of love. That's sacrifice. Listen, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is not a word. Love is an action. Yes, you can add your words on top of your actions, but words without actions is not good. It's not good at all. But we need to be examples. Just as Christ, you all said, I asked you, was Christ your example? And you said, yes, Christ. Then you woke up and said, yes, Christ is the example. We all need to be an example. One writer says this, talking about his dad. He says, he did not tell me how to live. He lived and he watched me watch him. He let me watch him do it. You see, yes, Jesus told us how to live and he let us watch him. As a parent, you can't just tell your kids how to live. You have to actually also walk it. As those who believe in Abba Father, the Heavenly Father, we need to walk in a way that we can tell others he's our dad and let them see the example in our life. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. He was always concerned about loving his father. And then, of course, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, Christ was my example. Now you follow me. And listen, we are all called to be spiritual fathers. Even you ladies are called to be spiritual fathers. When you lead someone to the Lord, it's your responsibility. You don't just go, hey, let me introduce you to Jesus. Oh, you're accepting Jesus? Great. Oh, good luck with that. See you later. Bye. No, the devil's going to be after you. Well, don't worry about it. No, you're to disciple them. You're to nurture them. You're to spend time, pour your life into them. So on this day, Father's Day, take heart. Even if you had a Darth Vader dad, even if you had a good dad, or if you had an incredible dad, we still have an Abba Father. Because even incredible dads are flawed. The best dads out there are flawed. Call your dad. Tell him you love him. So listen, just like we come here and offer worship to God because God wants our love, remember every man, every woman is created in the image and likeness of God. God desires your love. How do I know this? He sent his son in order to pave the way for you and I to love him back. So yes, he wants your love. And if I'm created in God's likeness and image, guess what I want? Love. Guess what your father wants? Love. And if you're a father, you want love. Fathers want to be loved by their children, just like God wants to be loved by his children, you and I. Because he already loves us. Listen, it doesn't matter what my kids do, they will always be my kids and I love them. Can they be rebellious? Sure they can. Can it sever our relationship? But not from my end. because I love them. So call your fathers today. I want to read this song to you, speaking about fathers and loving on them. It's by Mike and the Mechanics. It's called The Living Years. And it talks about this. Listen to the words. I love this. Every generation blames the one before, and all their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. So say it loud. Say it clear. You can listen as well as you hear. It's too late when we die to admit that we don't see eye to eye. You know, I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Call your dad. Maybe you didn't have a good dad. Maybe your dad's worse than Darth Vader. Tell him you love him. Maybe that's why he's like that. Maybe he had a dad that treated him that same way and he's just responding about, break that cycle. Be a different example. You know, Jesus said that we must be like little children, right? Unless you be like little children, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I think it's because sometimes little kids got it down. Listen to this. I want to read this quote by a young man named Mark, and he's 6 years old. Six-year-old Mark. Listen to what he says. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Isn't that good? Love your daddy. And if you are a dad, love your children. The one thing that I know is that we have a heavenly father that makes up for all the mess ups that we earthly fathers don't get right. But the one thing we can do is sacrifice our lives, lay our lives down, and love our children.